Shut up and sit down.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first edition of Draft 101. Tim Benz and Matt Williamson with you here in the Breakfast with Benz podcast. Every year, I like to get Matt on to preview the NFL draft. We take a full week of the podcast and dedicate it to draft coverage. Matt is a former pro and college scout. You can hear Matt with me on Countdown to Kickoff on ESPN Pittsburgh. You can check him out on SNR. You can hear him on the DVE pregame show, Steelers.com. He's everywhere. Also, the Peacock and Williamson podcast. You can track Matt at any number of various locations. And it's always great to get him on this time of year because no one works harder studying the draft and scouting not only the draftable players, but how they'll impact the Steelers as well. So I'm glad to get him back here for 2023. Matt, it's great to have you on. We're going to break this up into five different groups, as we always do. We're going to start off with the secondary first and foremost today, because I want to start with the obvious question. Is it as easy as saying if Joey Porter's kid's available at 17, the Steelers will draft him?
Close. I don't think that's exactly the case, to be very honest with you. And the more I dig into this in late March, I don't love picking at 17, to be honest with you. Overall, I think this class is lacking blue chip talent, and there's a misnomer that there's 32 valid first round picks every year. Usually, honestly, there's 15, 18, something along those lines. And I think this year's lighter than that than usual, but I do think the tier after that is very strong. I like the depth on day two quite a bit. I think the second round is very strong. You know, we're talking defensive backs. I think the corner class in general is exceptional and deep. So, yes, I have no problem taking Porter at 17, but he has his flaws, and it's a deep position. I think 32 into the second day, you'll get good corner talent. And I'll be honest, I mean, Porter to me has some work to do. I think he has one career interception. He looks the part. He's very physical, like his father, extremely long arms. He's a press man cover corner, though, and the Steelers do play a lot of man, but he's not great with his back pedal. He's not great taking the ball away. He's not great in zone, but there's a lot there to work with.
That's your thought. What do you think their thought is? Are they going to be able to stay away from the temptation of taking Porter's son?
Probably not. And an exercise I haven't done yet that I do every year is I build my board their top 17 this year. And Porter will absolutely be in it. I just don't think that he's a run to the podium, have to have him do jumping jacks if he gets to 17 type of guy.
You sound almost inclined for the Steelers to really consider trading down.
Yes, I really do, to be honest with you. Like, I'm sure we'll talk about several prospects that I say run to the podium, take him if he's there, great. And Porter's close to that to me, but he's not a slam dunk no-brainer. I just don't know when it's all said and done. This is going to sound terrible, but it really isn't. I don't know that the 17th pick is vastly more valuable than the 32nd. So it's 17.
Are you saying that any year, Matt, or this year?
This year. Absolutely this year. So I really don't think that the 17th pick is all that much different than the 23rd pick. So if you could pick up a third or a future pick to move down a handful of spots, unless there's two or three guys that happen to fall to you, I would be very open to that.
Let me ask that question then in a different way. And this might be a self-fulfilling answer then, but let's say Porter is on the board at 17 and they don't feel like he's a threat to go until 23 or 22. They can get that third. What would you think of the idea of trading back to get Porter then somewhere later in the first round and get some draft capital later on in the draft?
As it stands again, I don't know who the first 16 picks are going to be. None of us do. But I think there's a very high percentage chance that I will say after 16 players have been selected, man, I would love to trade down 5, 6, 7 picks. And I also think after 31 players are picked and everyone retires to their caves and they look at their draft board, that the Steelers will get a lot of calls for that 32nd pick too. And I think that's probably the best way of doing business, but it's easy for you and I to say, oh, they should trade down. I don't know what offers they'll get, of course, you know.
If we're looking at the Steelers at 17 and Devin Witherspoon, Cam Smith, or Christian Gonzalez are there, are they a run to the podium at 17 guy at corner for the Steelers?
Gonzalez is 100%. Witherspoon is 100%. To me, Cam Smith is a borderline first rounder. I don't know that I would take him at 32, but I wouldn't object to it. So my corner ranks go Gonzalez, Witherspoon, Porter. So if I think Porter's more often than not worth the 17th, yes, but I don't think Smith is worth 17. I would not trade you 17 for Cam Smith today.
The two names that have gotten some helium in conversation at corner for the Steelers, and this is often parenthetically brought up with the thought, if Joey Porter goes earlier, because I think a lot of people to our earlier conversation just assume that if Porter's son is there out of Penn State, they'll take him. But if he's gone, or they trade back, or they decide they can't say no to an edge or an offensive tackle that's there, a couple corners that I've heard that have been brought up for the Steelers, maybe at 32, if they stick with that pick or they figure out a way to trade back into the first or something like that, Emmanuel Forbes and Deontay Banks. Forbes out of Mississippi State and Banks out of Maryland.
Let's start with Banks. I mentioned I haven't done it yet, but I will definitely put a board together as if I was in charge of the Steelers draft. I pretty much will promise you Banks will be in my top 17. Probably 15, 16, 17.
So he'd be like your fourth corner then after
Porter. He is my fourth corner. Yeah, I like him more than Cam Smith, who you mentioned. Extremely athletic, very, very fluid. Like Porter, only one career interception, but he's a little more versatile than Porter. I think there's a lot there to work with, traits. And his tape certainly isn't bad at all. So the other one was Forbes. I don't know what.
And Banks is from Maryland, by the way.
Banks is from Maryland. They'll know a lot about him too, you know, just like Porter. And you know, they were critical. People were critical of the Steelers that they take these guys that they know so much about, Pickett and Hayward last year. I defend them. I mean, that's what scouting's all about. It's gathering information. If I know more about Porter than I do about, you know, whomever, then I'm going to feel more comfortable. I don't want to miss. Now, Forbes to me, Tim, is unbelievably interesting. Between Witherspoon and Forbes, those two have the best tape of anyone in this cornerback class. He's 167 is my problem with Forbes. I mean, he is dangerously thin.
Okay.
I think he set the NCAA record for pick sixes. He takes the ball away. His film is tremendous, but his lower body is so lean. I mean, his waist, his calves, his ankles. I don't know if you could put 5 more pounds on the guy. I don't know if he can tackle Nick Chubb coming around the corner. So I don't think I can buy into Forbes at 17 or 32, even though his tape is tremendous. But, I mean, he's well under 170 pounds.
Last thing on the corners, Matt, I don't know how you felt about the free agency decisions, but I would have been, especially with the depth of corner, as you've already outlined, I would have been okay with them keeping Sutton, signing Peterson, and taking a corner somewhere in the first 3 rounds. I would have been fine with that. How about you?
You said keep Sutton, sign Peterson, and draft
one. Yeah, and draft a corner with cachet. I would have been fine with that because I think they're thin there.
I do too, and I frankly thought Sutton would have come back to the Steelers. I can't talk out both sides of my mouth. I thought going into the free agency period, Sutton would have been my top priority of upcoming Steeler free agents. And I don't want to say they overpaid, but he got more than I thought at around 11 a year for a good to above average corner on his third contract. So I think you're being a little greedy there in terms of the money. That would have been ideal because Sutton's versatility of inside out and all those things would have been really, really nice. But I do think the second they signed Peterson, I said, oh, he's going to mentor a first or second round cornerback for sure. I mean, that's the perfect guy to do that.
Last thing on the secondary, is this a draft where they can find a player that can contribute this year at safety somewhere on day two, day three? What do they do in general at safety, and how do you dovetail that into the talent pool available at safety in this draft?
I don't love the safety class. I think when the third round, Jair Brown, Sidney Brown, those type, Jatavius Martin, there's a couple names that interest me that I don't think I can use any of the Steelers' first three picks on, but after that, mid rounds. But one name I think we have to talk about that we haven't is a tremendous football player out of Alabama, Brian Branch. Now, he didn't test well at the NFL Combine, but he is the best slot corner in this draft, and he's the best safety in this draft. And frankly, it isn't even close. And he's a slightly less athletic version of Minka coming out of Alabama. Wow. He was Saban's quarterback. I mean, Saban always has a defensive back that he trusts to no end. That's Brian Branch. And frankly, athleticism at safety and slot corner are vastly overrated. It's a lot of head learning, seeing the game, communication. So I would consider Branch at 17, and he would kind of kill two birds with one stone. But there's also a slight chance he might be there at 32, which is the crux of the conversation we opened this thing with, that I don't know the picks 17 and 32 are vastly more valuable than the other.
That's a look at the secondary. Tomorrow on Tuesday, we'll come back for day two of Draft 101 as we prepare for a month-long look at the Steelers draft at Breakfast with Ben's. All week long, we're doing it with Matt Williamson here on the podcast page. When we come back on Tuesday, we're going to look at the front seven, not just the draftable players in the front seven that might fit the Steelers scheme, but also what the Steelers scheme has become along the front seven. We'll talk about that tomorrow here on Breakfast with Ben's.